Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to pamper yourself with luxury that is within reach? As a loyal listener, you can now get cash back, rebates of up to 30%, and discounts up to 60% while shopping at over 1,100 of your favorite stores. You deserve it. Let yourself go wild at loveloyaltysuperstore.com, where paying retail price is a thing of the past. I've experienced this fabulous internet savings mall and highly recommend it to you. Be sure to visit loveloyaltysuperstore.com to enjoy shopping in a whole new way at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well. This has been another awesome, unbelievable week in Central Florida. We have had so much rain every single day, and before it rains, it gets very hot, and after the rain, the heat comes back, but then it's so marvelous because at night it cools down, and so I am loving this. Be sure to friend me or like me on Facebook.com/INS Bracey International, and connect with me on Twitter. I'd appreciate that. It is so amazing for my guest today, but before I get to that, remember that each week I suggest that you take one nugget from the show, just one thing that resonates with you at a deep level that you know is right for you, and use it throughout the week. When you do that, you will see a significant change in your life. And as I was telling one of my clients the other day, you look back and you go, whoa, that used to be me, but now I am. Because as we begin to step into I am-ness, it is amazing how our lives really, really change. So it's just so wonderful to come to you each week with all these experts and fabulous guests who share their information in such a way that it's easy to understand, it's easy to use, and there is an immediacy about it. My guest today is a lawyer and a psychic. It is so amazing. He's also a best-selling author of Melvin Letting Go, which is a powerful and revealing guide for those suffering from the death of a loved one. Readers will find great solace in his book with clear help on how to start healing the pain from grief. Never Letting Go is an inspiration for those who are looking for evidence of the afterlife. Incredible stories offer clear evidence from loved ones on the other side. Never Letting Go teaches us all how to recognize spirit contact. Learn the telltale signs of those loved ones on the other side who may be trying to contact you. Never Letting Go heals you with message of hope from the other side. Mark Anthony is known as the psychic lawyer. He's also a psychic medium who always follows the evidence, whether in a criminal trial or those seeking his mediumistic connections with loved ones and spirit. An Oxford-educated attorney who grew up with psychic parents makes Mark's voice clearly unique, a natural storyteller. Mark engages his readers through his narrative style with powerful true stories offering hope, inspiration, wow, and comfort. A truly compelling read for anyone of any faith. As an attorney and intuitive, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, appears regularly on national media and radio shows and has been a legal commentator for news networks. A natural mediator, Mark combines his intuitive gifts with his legal experience in his grief and spirit contact counseling work. He lives in Florida, right up the street from me. You can reach out to Mark at neverlettinggo.com. Mark, are you with me?
I sure am, Inez, and it's so nice to be here on your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I read your book, and it's amazing to me how you could be in the courtroom and not just stop all the time and do a reading on whoever was on the stand.
Well, I certainly understand that sentiment, but from an ethical standpoint, there's ethics in the legal profession and there's ethics in the psychic profession, although not all the people that hold themselves out as psychics follow a code of ethics. You don't impose a reading upon someone unless they're open to it or they ask for it. Now, of course, I've violated that at times, but it turned out to be the right thing to do. But I just don't, let's say I'm at Lowe's or Walmart or someplace like that, I may pick up on stuff on people around me, but if someone's there and they're looking at wrenches and I walk up to some guy, hey, your deceased grandfather would like you to know this, it may not be the best received message because he's not there for that. This guy's there to pick out a wrench, and so it has to be done in the proper context. And same thing in courtroom. And then some people say, like, oh, well, you should know this and you should know that. And there's a misunderstanding with some people about what psychic abilities are. It doesn't make us all-knowing and all-seeing. God is all-knowing and all-seeing. What this does is it gives us insights and it gives us a sensitivity to frequency. Many people in my family get premonitions of things to come, and occasionally I get premonitions like that, but that's not my forte. My forte is being sensitive to the presence of spirit and facilitating a communication between a spirit and a person here.
Now, where I grew up in North Carolina, we call spirits Hanks. People call them ghosts now. We call them Hanks. Don't ask me why.
And that's cool. I never heard that.
I learn
something every day, and I'm learning here on the Inez Bracey Show. Woo! That's great.
Yeah, we called them Hanks, and it was amazing because we were afraid of them. I don't know if we ever actually saw one, or it was just something that our parents used to keep us in control. I don't know.
Yeah, me growing up, it was the boogeyman. Because I lived, I stayed in a room with my older brother. He was a couple years older than me. And so, like, when I was four, he was nine, and he would tell me, the boogeyman sleeps, lives under the bed. Don't let your foot, he'll grab you. Like, to this day, I sleep in the fetal position because it was ingrained in me. And I think, and it's funny to laugh at that now, but you brought up a really good point, Inez. It's a fear of the unknown and spirit contact. When we're children, there's the boogeyman and what you call the Haynes and ghosts and all this sort of thing. And even into adulthood, a lot of people fear spirit contact. They try to demonize it or say it's the work of, some underworld forces and all this, superstitious nonsense, because all that's based in fear. And what I found is, because I study mediumship and I study spirit contact in a scientific sense, spirits are energy. In other words, every religion teaches that we're not these bodies. We're in these bodies. And when these bodies no longer function, who and what we are transitions to another dimension, to another frequency. Well, a lot of people, because they don't understand that, it's the unknown. And we fear the unknown. It's like, I don't go in the ocean at night because I'm afraid of it. And that doesn't always mean that a second you step in the ocean, a big great white shark's going to come and chomp you in two. But because I can't see it, because I can't understand it. Or, it's like fear of going out into the darkness all by yourself. Okay, maybe you'll trip, maybe you'll fall, or maybe there's some unsavory person or creature out there that's going to grab you. But with spirit contact, a lot of times people that walk into areas that are haunted or what they think is haunted, or people that that feel the presence of a loved one around them, you get cold chills and tingles. Now, what's happening here is a spirit is energy. And when the spirit's energetic electrical field interfaces with yours, okay, the spirit's electricity touches yours, we get an electrical physiological response, which is tingling and cold chills. Ergo, we immediately interpret that as fear. I know when I start sensing that a spirit's reaching out to me, and I know not to be afraid of it, and then that's when the communication begins to happen. And a lot of times spirits, they feel bad because it's like, let's say your grandfather's trying to get hold of you, and all of a sudden you're scared. And he's like, I didn't mean to scare you, I'm just trying to reach out to you. So once we begin to understand the technical basis of spirit contact, it begins to remove the fear. Once the fear is removed, it opens up this door to knowledge and understanding, enlightenment, and for those who are suffering with the loss of a loved one, it leads to the path of healing and inner peace. And so that's why, because we can communicate with spirits does not mean it's a negative thing. You know, and what I write about Never Letting Go is how very positive it truly is.
Yeah, your book is very positive, but when I was reading it, I was thinking, what do you say to people, Mark, who say, okay, they're dead, they're gone, and that means that all communication is shut off and it should stay shut off? What do you say to those people?
There's a lot of people like that. There's people who are fearful because maybe their religious dogma tells them it's really a demon impersonating someone. Let me address that one first. Okay, well, and I talk about this in Never Letting Go, where this woman says, you're doing the work of devils. And I said, well, if that's the case, then why would a devil want you to, A, believe in God, B, realize heaven exists, C, our soul's immortal, and D, the teachings of Jesus are correct, and E, that you should feel healed and uplifted and full of love. Does that really sound like a satanic objective to you? I mean, and she's like, well, no. I go, that's because it isn't, okay? And, you know, a demon impersonating people to make somebody feel better, it would sound like maybe the demon's more like an angel than something negative. So I don't buy that whole, and I know that that's all rooted in primitive superstition. Then there's the people who say they're skeptics, but they're not skeptics. They're just closed-minded. Because a true skeptic is someone, it's like all the great scientific discoveries, all the great discoveries in humanity have all started with this, these three words, I don't know, or four words if you don't contract it, I do not know. And so if you don't know something, then you delve into it to discover. So a true skeptic is open-minded and looking for evidence with which to draw a conclusion, as opposed to a closed-minded people. I'm a skeptic, and their mind is a closed door. It's I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, minds are like parachutes. They only work when they're open. So unless you are open-minded, then you're not really a skeptic. You're just a closed-minded person. And there are some people who I will never be able to convince. I don't seek their validation. I don't require or need their approval. I know what I do is real. The thousands and thousands of people that I conduct readings for know that this is real. And so the way I look at it is, this is my ministry. This is the work that I do, is to facilitate communication between people here and people on the other side to help the people here recover from and heal from the grieving process.
Now, you use the word ministry, Mark, and you're talking about mediumship and talking about spirits. How do they go together, those words?
I believe that anything that you can do in the service of another person is a service gift. Okay, Inez, let's take you for example. You have a beautiful gift of communication. You have a wonderful way of teaching. You're a great interviewer. You have a way of taking information and getting it to people. That is a service gift that you are using in the service of other people to help them. An auto mechanic has an incredible mind for mechanical abilities and fixing things, and he or she is doing that in the service of another person. Being a good parent is a service gift because you are the custodian of these little people that are going to grow into adults, hopefully, God willing, someday. Just being a good friend or a good listener is a service gift because you are helping people by validating and just listening to somebody. So when I use the term ministry, I look at mediumship. I was raised Catholic, and I was considering becoming a Catholic priest. And we have sacraments like, you know, communion, which is the Lord's Supper, and confession, and confirmation, and marriage, and the priesthood, and so forth and so on. I look at this with the reverence of a sacrament, and I try to approach it that way. And my ministry is to help people cope with the loss of a loved one by letting them know that the person that meant so much to them did not disintegrate into nothingness. While some people may disagree with what I do, I respect all people and their beliefs and their religions. I would expect the same, although I am often not treated that way by people, but that's their problem, not mine. And my job is I am the custodian of this ability, which was given to me to help people heal. So that's how I look at all of those terms, ministry and spirituality and healing as going together.
Awesome. I am so happy that you were able to bring that out, because I think it's going to clear up a lot for our listeners when they decide, well, you know what, maybe it is okay. And one of the things, as a scientist, my background is in science, I always taught that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It changes forms. So if we are looking at death as it all is being destroyed, then what happened to the energy of the person? And I think that what you're doing with the spirit world and bringing in channeling and helping people to heal, I think that's probably what it is. You said you get a cold, feel cold and a tingling, and you know that somebody is trying to make a connection. So that has to be, in my mind, energy. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely, because the spirit is energy, and there's at least an electrical component to it and probably a form of energy we don't quite understand yet. And because basically we know that the brain has an electrical field, we know the heart does, we know our neural network, okay, it operates on a chemical and electrical impulses. So, and I love it when the skeptics go, when you're dead, you're dead. Well, what happens to the energy? Oh, well, it just sort of gets absorbed into the carpet. I mean, come on, what? You know? And where the big debate is, and right now, Sir John Eccles was a neurobiologist and a Nobel laureate who back in the 1950s came, he expanded upon the theory of the mind versus the brain. And I'll summarize this really quickly. A lot of neurobiologists, people who study the brain, say that the consciousness, who and what we are, our thought patterns, our memories, our personality, is generated by the brain, exists completely in the brain, and when the brain and the body dies, so do we. But there is another school of thought that Sir John Eccles and that myself, I'm a believer in this, plus Dr. Jeffrey Long, Dr. Kenneth Ring, and certainly the great Dr. Raymond Moody, all who study near-death experiences and the consciousness surviving the death of the body. The mind is separate from the brain. Who and what we are is housed within the brain, yet not generated by it, and it survives after the death of that. And so this is where I think the new trend in neurobiology is going. In other words, we are much more than the, you know, couple gallons of water and the bone and the flesh and the electrical impulses flowing through this container that we call a body. We are much more than that, and when that body ceases to function, who and what we are lives on.
And I totally agree with what you're saying, and I'm so happy that we're having this opportunity to talk. Now, I know that you are trained in everything that you do. Tell us about how you really got started doing this and where you've had your training.
Well, you know, this started to emerge when I was about 4 years old, and I started talking about my invisible friends, and my parents were good about it because they both had mediumistic ability, but they kept it very much to themselves. They didn't do it professionally. You know, we don't own little shops with neon signs that say "Come in to the Great Singali," and I don't wear a turban and all that sort of thing.
Mark.
I know. I mean, if you see me, it's like I look like your lawyer. You know, I'm a guy that wears blue suits and white ties, and you know, I mean, a red shirt. I mean, white shirt and red ties. You know, I mean, it's you know, I'm just an everyday guy from all appearances, and the way I look at this is that this was something I was born with. It's a genetic ability that runs in my family. So it started emerging, and it's always been there. And let me tell you, growing up as a psychic son or the son of psychics, it wasn't easy. You know, because you know when you're a teenager and you're trying to get away with stuff and you come home and they just be – and I think all parents have this to some extent, but it's like they knew whenever I was up to something. And then I realized – as I got older, that not everybody's mom was like my mom. She could see the future. She could predict events and things like that. If we had more time, I could really get into telling lots of stories about that. But as I got older, I realized that I needed to hone and to refine my ability. In other words, it's like, you know, every great athlete, okay, you know, Kobe Bryant, he's a, you know, he's a great athlete, but he still needed a coach. Michael Phelps, great swimmer, but he still needed a coach. And so I started training in England at the Arthur Findlay College for the Advanced Center of Psychic Science. And it's funny because when I flew to England, I get off the train and I flew to London, took the train up to where it is, and I get off, and the cabbie, I flag him down, and he goes, "So where are you going?" And I said, "Arthur Findlay." He goes, "Oh, spook school." I'm like, "What?" So we're driving in this taxi through the beautiful English countryside. We come around the bend, and there's this huge, it almost looks like a castle. And I'm like, "My God, this is like, you know, Harry Potter." And I pull up, and they're bringing all of us in. There was 40 people in the program that I was in. And they said, "We're going to sort you into your groups." And I'm like, "Oh, my God, this is Harry Potter." And we walk into the Great Hall, and and the professor comes out, very stately-looking English woman with the wire-frame glasses, and she stands up on the – they don't call it a stage. It's a rostrum. And she looks at all of us, and she says, "Welcome to Hogwarts." So – we all start laughing, and she goes, "All right, spook school." and what it is, the people in the village around that, because the college has been there for quite some time, very, very long time, and it is an institute. It is studied scientifically and objectively, and they do very intensive training, as difficult as anything that I had in law school, maybe even more so. And what they do is they teach you how to work with the spirit. I don't summon or conjure anybody. I don't burn cats at midnight and burn black candles and do goofy things like that. It is learning to open up your mind to frequency, because what we've found, and I know we're coming up on the top of the hour, I'll make this very, very brief. In the center of our brain, we have the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is a highly sophisticated gland which regulates our brainwave frequencies, our circadian rhythms, our melatonin production. But it also has calcite and magnetite crystals in it. So basically, Inez, in our heads, we have a radio, a transmitter, a receiver. And so when you learn to work with that, then you will be able to communicate with the higher frequencies where spirits, where the other side is. Now, everybody has this equipment. That's when people, it's the work of demons. Yeah, well, if it's the work of demons, then how can we can all, you know, have this equipment? However, can everyone do this? I do not believe so. But, everybody can swim, but not everybody is Michael Phelps, okay? Everybody can play tennis, but not everybody's, I'd say Roger Federer, but the other guy that just won Wimbledon, Andy Murray. But what it comes down to is everyone is capable of having a mediumistic experience, although not everyone is a medium, because we all have the physiological equipment to detect it. And so for the listeners, those of you who've had a dream where a deceased loved one comes and talks to you and it's realistic and you feel that it was real, it's because it was. Those of you who smell the perfume or cigar smoke of a deceased loved one and there's no source for it, That's a form of communication. You turn on a radio. You're prompted to turn on a radio. There's the song that reminds you of a deceased loved one. You feel that you catch a glimpse of them out of your peripheral vision. These are all real experiences that you are physiologically capable of perceiving. There's nothing evil or negative about it. And the way I look at it is mediumship and spirit contact is a gift from God to let us know that life is truly everlasting.
I just love that, because what you just said, I will help my listeners to embrace these events, look forward to them, and not be afraid. Many times go ahead.
Well, be afraid. That is such a good point, Inez. How many times did Jesus say, "Fear not"? And think about it. Fear is a horrible thing, to live in fear, to be afraid of things, to be afraid of the unknown, to be afraid of somebody in your family that abuses you, to be afraid of the neighborhood you live in, to be afraid to walk down a street at night. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing. and in enhancing your spirituality and your connection with God, when you embrace that enlightenment and that upliftment, the fear melts by the wayside. And that's the whole point, is truly understanding God. Faith through fear, this hellfire or brimstone, you're bad. Faith through fear isn't faith at all. It's a form of bullying and control. True faith in God is what Jesus said, you must fear not.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something, fear generates more fear and it paralyzes you. So you end up not living your life because you're afraid to do anything. But what really surprises me, Mark, is whether you do it or not, your life is going to go forward. So why not jump into it and enjoy it?
Absolutely. And life is not easy. The Hindus and the Buddhists believe life is suffering. Jesus certainly led a very difficult life where a lot of his life involved enduring the ignorance and fear and the oppression of people around him. And when we can cherish those moments where we find true love, where, you know, a little child looks at us like we're the just most incredible thing in the world, when you look in the eyes of someone you love who loves you, and just enjoying a beautiful sunrise or sunset where it's like, God, this is so beautiful and I feel so good, and gee, for the past 5 minutes I haven't thought about my bills and overhead and all my problems. These are the things we need to grab onto, because life is a tapestry and each memory is a thread. And we all too often get very focused on a couple threads or one in particular, which is, you know, pain, loss, and or something happened to us as a child, instead of looking at the entire tapestry and saying, my life was well lived.
Mark, in the next minute and a half, can you give us an example of a reading or a mediumship that you did that was something that you cannot forget?
I believe I was in Boston, and actually it was Peabody, which is north of Boston. We would say Peabody, but in Massachusetts, Peabody. And I was at a Barnes & Noble there, and I was conducting a gallery reading at a Barnes & Noble where my book's on sale, and I was drawn to this elderly woman in the front row, and I said, I feel a male energy that feels like a husband coming through. And she looked at me, and I saw the tears in her eyes, and he says, don't do it. He says, don't do it. You're thinking dark thoughts. Don't do it. And the woman just shook, and she burst into tears, and she stood up, and she came over, and she hugged me, and she whispered in my ears, I was going to kill myself tonight.
And she said,
I saw you on television today, and for some reason I felt I needed to come here before I did anything. And I said, that's because your husband's spirit was motivating you to come here because he wanted to get this message through to you. Do not take your own life. I know that you're suffering. I know that you're very sad. But we are here to live this life for in the difficult times, the painful times, to learn lessons. And when it is your time, your appointed time to leave the material world, you will. And I have every bit of confidence that he will be one of the people there to greet you when you cross into the light. And that I will never forget.
That is so powerful. That is absolutely powerful. My guest today has been Mark Anthony, a medium and a psychic lawyer. If you ever need one or the other, he'd be the person to get in touch with. He's also the author of Never Letting Go, and you can see all about his book and all that he's doing at neverlettinggo.com. Mark, do you have one word you'd like to say to our listeners before we end the show?
Two words. Three words. Three words. Three words. That's typical lawyer. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been the Inez Bracey Show, Living Smart and Well, and we will be back next week with another guest. And I look forward to you having the best week that you could ever imagine. Go out and create a fantabulous week.
Remember to go to loveloyaltysuperstore.com, L-O-V-E, loyaltysuperstore.com today to experience the fun and the joy of shopping from the comfort of your home at 1,100 of your favorite national merchants and receive up to 30% cash rebates and 60% discounts on your purchases at loveloyaltysuperstore.com. Be sure to scroll down and download the Cashback Finder at loveloyaltysuperstore.com.